And it's always a joy to preach the Word of God. The only thing I have done in my life is to preach. I don't do a good job, but I enjoy doing it. And I'm thankful that God, in His grace and mercy, called me at the age of 17. My vision was to be a lawyer. I used to cut school while I was in high school to go to the court to see the lawyer and defending the case. And I would say, someday I'm going to be there. That's going to be me. So my ambition was to become a lawyer. But my mother had been praying for me that I would be a preacher. In fact, my mother wanted to make me a preacher. And many a time she would twist my ears and when I did something wrong, and she said, you know, preachers do not behave like that. Be careful. And I remember one time, I don't recall what I did, but it must have been very bad. She pulled me by my ear and took me to a room and twist my ear real hard and said, I have told you that preachers should not behave that way. Well, that day, I lost my cool, and I yelled to my mother for the first time in my life. I said, Mother, if I ever become a preacher, it will be because God would make me a preacher and not you. Leave me alone. That was the last time my mother ever told me that I'd be a preacher. But she kept on praying for me. And at the age of 17, I went to a youth camp. And in that camp, I heard a voice in my heart saying, I need you. This is not your mother. It's me. I said, all right, Lord, is that what you want to do with my life? Here's my life. And I'm so thankful for the way God has blessed me and directed me through the years. And the way that He has given me the privilege of preaching the gospel in over 33 countries around the world. And souls have been saved. I have been privileged to preach the gospel in the jungles of Panama to people who didn't even know how to read or write. And souls were saved. I preached the gospel one time in Mexico to three different tribes of people. And each one of the tribes had its own interpreter. The first one knew Spanish. And he would pick the message and translate it into the language of his people. The second one knew the language of the first one. And then he would translate the message to the language of those people. And the third one knew the language of the second. By the time then the third interpreter had interpreted what I said, I have lost my thought and I didn't know where I was going. But you know, souls were saved there too. See, the gospel is powerful anywhere. I had privilege to preach the gospel in Europe to very well-educated people. And God worked in their hearts. One time I was preaching in Spain. And lady, very well-dressed. I was mentioning the fact that we're sinners. That we're lost. That we need a Savior. Her face turned red like the tomato. She looked at me and then she went. That she was not a sinner. She didn't want to admit that she was a sinner. But the truth of the matter is that we are all sinners and that we need a Savior. And there people were saved too. What a wonderful privilege to be able to preach the gospel of Christ. Please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. Like, as I mentioned the first day I was here back home. Every time we read the Word of God, we always stand up. So will you please stand up to honor the Word of God as we read Romans chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. Now then, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among you other Gentiles. I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Blessed Lord, this is thy holy word. It was the Holy Spirit who inspired these men whom you chose to write the message which you wanted us to have. And I pray that that same Holy Spirit that inspired those men may enlighten our hearts and souls to comprehend the truth of thy word. May the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified and honored, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The question is, why do we need to preach the gospel of Christ? Why spending time in preaching the gospel? Why spending money in preaching the gospel? Why spending lives? Several men have been murdered for the cause of Christ. Several years ago, 5 missionaries were murdered in the jungles of Ecuador. As a result of that tragedy, over 2,000 young men surrendered for full-time Christian service, and they became the next generations of missionaries. One thing that I noticed in recent years is that not too many are surrendering themselves for full-time Christian service, less for missionary work. Will God might be able to allow another tragedy like that, to see a group of young men and women giving themselves to the cause of Christ? I don't think that is needed. All we have to do is to obey the Lord and preach the gospel. Why spend so much money in this matter of preaching the gospel? Let me give you some reason why we must preach the gospel. The first place, we preach the gospel, and we must preach the gospel because it is the message from God. The gospel was not invented or created by any ecclesiastical organization. The gospel came from God. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul calls the gospel of God. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. This message came from God. It was not invented by men. It was not created by men. It's a privilege to be able to proclaim the gospel of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul said to the Thessalonians that the gospel he preached was the gospel of God. He realized that it was God that gave him that message. And God prepared, listen to this, God prepared the gospel even before the foundations of the world. You can read that in the book of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. It was God before he said, let there be light, he planned the gospel. And so here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Listen in verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in this last time for you. So even before God created the world, he already had a plan. He already had a message. He already had a program. And that program was to carry the gospel to the ends of the world so people can come to know Christ as their personal Savior. The gospel is the gospel of God. And there's no other message like the message of God. If you're going to preach any message, just preach the message of God. I mean, there are so many messages going on today in the world. The message of prosperity. The message of liberal theology, the message of love. But the best message we can preach is the message of God. That's the message that changes life. That's the message that brings hope. That's the message that makes us children of God. So we must preach the gospel because this is the message from God. Secondly, we must preach the gospel because we have a commandment to preach the gospel. The commission appears in all the gospel. In Matthew 28:18-20. In Mark 16:15. Luke 24:47. John 20:19-20. Through the gospel, we have the commissions. And then the commission is found in Acts 1:8. The commission is implied in one way or another through all the epistles that the apostles wrote. And the result of the commission is revealed in Revelation 7:9-10. Turn your Bibles there, please. The book of Revelation 7:9-10. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindred, and people, and tongue, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white clothes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb." What a wonderful experience that's going to be when all the redeemed of the Lord will be together, people from all nations, from all tongues, from all cultures, all in one setting with one purpose in mind, to worship and glorify the Lamb of God who gave his life to redeem us. I'm looking forward to being that number. Are you? We must preach the gospel because the gospel, we're ordained to preach the gospel. The commission is revealed through the scriptures I mentioned, but it is not a mere request. It is an order. And I spent 2 years in the United States Army before I went to Bob Jones University. And when I went to get the basic training, I was inducted during the Korean War. When I went to get my basic training, the sergeant that was in charge of our group, he was as ugly, as mean as any sergeant could be. In fact, when I first saw him, I said, "That guy must be the missing link in the evolutionary process." He was big, ugly, mean, but on each side of his shoulders, there were 6 stripes. He was a hero during the Second World War. And behind those 6 stripes on each shoulder was the power, the whole power of the United States Army. And we were at the disposition of that sergeant. Whatever he said, that has to be done. If he would tell us at 4 o'clock in the morning, "Get up," we have to get up. If he would tell you, "Go run in the range field for an hour," we have to do that. Whatever he ordered to us, we have to do it. But you know, the orders that we have to preach the gospel come from somebody more powerful than a sergeant. These orders come from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I like it the way that is in my Spanish Bible. In your English Bible it says, "Go." But in my Spanish Bible it says, "Id por todo el mundo." The word "eat" has the connotation of an urgency. The word "eat" implies, hey, there's a need. Go meet that need. It's just as though there's a fire and somebody is on the third floor yelling and screaming, "Please help me." It's as though somebody is drowning and asking for help. The word "eat" implies an urgency, a need that has to be met. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Go," he meant it. There's a need. So we have orders from the Lord Jesus Christ to go and preach the gospel. To obey his commission is an expression of love, as the Lord Jesus Christ told us in John 14:15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." One thing is to say, "I love the Lord," and another thing is to show that you love the Lord. I mean, you can tell your girlfriend, "I love you. And I love you." But if you don't prove that by asking her, would you marry me? I'm willing to spend the rest of my life with you. I'm willing to get old with you. I'm willing to do anything for you. She's not going to believe you. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people say, hey, I love the Lord, but they don't do anything for the Lord. I love the Lord, but they don't win souls. I love the Lord, but they don't tithe. I love the Lord, but they don't participate in soul winning. To obey the commission is an expression of love toward our Lord. So we must preach the gospel because we have been commissioned by our Lord and Savior. We must preach the gospel in the third place because there's a need. There's a need, a great need. The need is based upon the fact that men are lost in sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a need based on the sinful condition of men. The need is based on man's inability to get rid of that condition. Now man thinks that he can get rid of his condition. And they have invented, I don't know how many things to try. But as of today, there's nothing that can get rid of our sinful nature. Look what it says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2 and verse 23. Jeremiah, chapter 2 and verse 23. For though thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord. So there's no way that man can get rid of his sinful condition. It's not through religion, which is the most common thing that man uses today. It's not through morality. It's not through good works. The only thing that can take care of the problem of sin is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So, the need is based upon the fact that man is not able to get rid of his condition. And this need is universal. Everywhere you go, it's the same thing. You see, there's a lot of things taking place in this nation, and people think that those things are local. But this is a global thing. Everywhere you go, people are the same. They are sinners, undone, condemned, on the way to hell. Regardless whether they live in a very well-educated country, or regardless they live among the jungles in different countries. People are lost, and they have no cure for that condition. The need is universal. And there's no cure for man's sinful condition but the gospel of Christ. Paul was so convinced of that, that he gave his life for the preaching of the gospel. That's why he mentioned in that verse that we read there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul had experienced the gospel in his own life. He was rebellious against Christ. He hated the Lord Jesus Christ. He hated the people of Christ. He was furious against the church, which at that time was called the Way. And then on the way to Damascus, something happened to him. The Lord Jesus Christ himself appeared to him. And his life was transformed instantly, changed, and became a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that power has not diminished. That power is still the same today. In the city of New York, there was a young fellow whose life was just terrible. He was involved in drugs. He stole money. He would break into cars and take things out of vehicles. One day he got up at 10 o'clock in the morning, sharpened his knife, and went to Central Park looking for somebody. And he saw a little fellow going by. He went after him, grabbed him by the neck, put his knife right in his neck and said, "Sir, give me everything you have and I'm going to kill you." The man said to him, "Nicky, I've been looking for you. No, don't talk to me. All I want is your money, or else I'm going to cut you into pieces." And the man said, "Nicky, if you cut me into pieces, every single piece of flesh that you take out of my body will yell to you, 'Nicky, Jesus loves you.' Nicky, you can cut me and my blood will drop into the floor, but every single drop of blood that will come out of my body, he will tell you, 'Nicky, Jesus loves you.'" And Nicky dropped a knife. And the preacher was able to lead Nicky to the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard Nicky preach to 200,000 people in the same park, what he was saying. And he gave his testimony as to how the Lord, that moment that he got on his knees and pleaded Christ, he felt like a shower came over him and cleansed him. And the desire for drugs disappeared. The desire for killing disappeared. He became a new creature in Christ Jesus. That power, my friend, is still available today. It has not diminished. We must preach the gospel of Christ because there's a need. And people are in need of that message. Somebody in this city is waiting for somebody to hear the gospel. Somebody across the seas is waiting for somebody to preach the gospel. The need is great. And fourthly, we must preach the gospel because the gospel is the only cure. There's no other cure. The gospel has the answer to the problem of sin. The gospel has the answer to all conditions that come as a result of sin. The gospel is available to all. The Bible says anybody that will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's why John 3:16 is still in the Bible. The gospel is still today the power of God unto salvation to anybody. That's why we must preach the gospel. It's the only answer. My sister married a drunkard. When he came to ask for her, he was drunk. We got together with my sister and said, "Listen, don't get married to that guy. He's a drunkard." But she was crazy about him. She disobeyed my father and she went ahead and married him. My sister lived a terrible life for 20 years with that man. He would beat her up. One time he came home drunk, went to the kitchen, got a knife and went after my sister to kill her. My sister ran all over the house, opened the door, went outside and jumped over the fence and was able to save herself. But my sister loved very much his in-laws. And her father-in-law was dying. And she called me. She said, "Mike, my father-in-law is lost. Could you go and witness to him? He's going to die very soon. He doesn't know the gospel. Would you please go and witness to him?" So I took my car and drove from Bayamon all the way east to Fajardo, found the house, knocked at the door, and I asked the lady that came out. I came to see Señor Mercedes, and she said, he's in the room, he's dying. So I went to the room, sat beside him. I said, "Señor Mercedes, I'm Raquel's brother. He asked me to come to talk to you about Christ." I explained to him the gospel. He was breathing very hard. I said, Señor Mercedes, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and gave his life for you. And he's willing to save you. If you just ask the Lord, if you can confess you are sinners. And then breathing very hard, he says, how do I do that? I said, would you like to be saved and be ready to go home? And he says, yes, I like to do that. What do I have to do? I said, just repeat with me this prayer. And he prayed the sinner's prayer. And as Jesus Christ came to come into his heart. When he finished, he says, why did somebody tell me sooner that this was the way? I've been in church all my life. I have done everything the church told me. I've been a good man. I've given money to the poor. I've done good works. I never knew that Christ had died for my sins. Thank you. Thank you. And he went on to be with the Lord. The gospel is still today the only answer. And if you're going to do anything about God, better get busy and preach the gospel. We must preach the gospel. Because God has ordained it. It's the message of God. It's the only hope. It's the only answer. And people are waiting. May the Lord help us to be faithful in proclaiming his gospel. Shall we pray? Lord, all of us here that do know Christ, all of us here that have experienced the wonderful joy of knowing that our sins have been forgiven, are very thankful for the fact that even though we do not deserve to be saved, in your grace and mercy, you save us. Make us conscious of our responsibility of giving the gospel to others. Make us conscious of the fact that out there in the world, there are people lost, condemned, on the way to hell, that need to know Christ as personal Savior. Oh God, raise young men and women here that will give their lives for full-time Christian service to proclaim the unsearchable riches of the gospel of Christ. Lead us and guide us in Jesus' name.